Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Well, hello, welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer, and it is Friday, April 12th, 2024. This is our 385th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talent in the hospitality industry. This show will be broadcast in a couple weeks. Today, I am on location in Midtown, New York City, at a wonderful contemporary French restaurant by one of the world's most decorated chefs, Alain Ducasse, who is my guest today. And I'm thrilled to be here with him, and I will introduce him fully in a moment. First, as I do in every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we'll have my speed round game, industry news, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to follow my guest's code of honor and its 12 values, which are passion, pleasure, sharing, harmony, performance, rigor, curiosity, diversity, excellence, respect, audacity, and memory. We will dive more into what these words mean to Chef Ducasse on the show, but for me, they sum up a beautiful approach to life and a way to live, from our work to our social lives. They are words that evoke feeling, action, and responsibility, among others, and represent a code worth pursuing. So let's embrace these principles and follow the Ducasse way. Is an honorable way to live. That's my tip today. Okay, so I'm super excited and honored to be on location today in New York City at Benoit with my guest, legendary chef Alain Ducasse. Born in 1956 on a farm in the Lens region of France, Chef Ducasse is now at the helm of over 30 restaurants in 9 countries around the world, from prestigious establishments including the Maurice Alain Ducasse Le Louis 15, Alain Ducasse at Le Hotel de Paris, and Alain Ducasse at the Dorchester, to Parisian bistros and casual brasseries. He became the first chef to have 3 restaurants awarded with 3 Michelin stars at the same time in 2005, and one of just 2 chefs in the world to have been awarded 21 stars altogether. He currently holds a total of 18 Michelin stars, and he has also set up schools, created artisan factories, and is the author of several cookbooks. He has a new book out, Good Taste, A Life of Food and Passion, which captures the essence of his illustrious career and the core of his philosophy, inspirations, and creative process. Without further ado, Chef Alain Ducasse, welcome to All in the Industry. I should say, bienvenue à spectacle.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Ça va?
And today we have a wonderful translator with us, Emmanuel. So thank you both for being here. And congratulations on your entire career and your new book out. I always like to start with my guests and find out more about their background. So do you want to take us back to your childhood a bit and growing up on the farm and how that influenced you to become a chef and your philosophy of naturality?
En quoi votre enfance a influencé un peu le reste de votre carrière jusqu'à la naturalité? Est-ce que vous pouvez parler un petit peu de ça?
Je suis né dans une ferme où tous les produits étaient naturels et le jardin était notre menu principal pour déjeuner. Et au bout de 40 ans de carrière, j'ai décidé de revenir à une cuisine originelle des goûts de mon enfance, en tout cas des légumes du jardin, et la naturalité est née de là en 2014. Ce n'est pas uniquement la naturalité partout, mais en tout cas, c'est une orientation forte.
Of course, but on the farm, and he was surrounded by vegetables, and nature was everywhere. And all the food of the family was, you know, based on what was available on the farm. 40 years of work after, in 2014, he started Naturalness Cuisine, Naturality, going back to the roots, going back to the ethos that has been developed since he was a child. Only use what is available around you, use all the produce, no waste, and concentrate on vegetables and cereals, and reduce the amount of proteins, animal proteins. So that's really a circle in a way.
And the idea was really born very young, growing up, or it's something that developed over time?
Oui, cette idée de la naturalité, vous l'avez portée en vous, mais elle s'est développée au fil des années.
Oui, mais toujours, on a été précautionneux. On a été précautionneux d'utiliser le végétal comme un élément important dans la gastronomie. Ce n'était pas le cas, mais on est vraiment amoureux parce que dès 1987, quand j'arrive à Monaco, nous décidons de proposer un menu végétal. Donc, c'est une vieille histoire. Sauf qu'aujourd'hui, la prise de conscience d'une planète en danger fait que nous devons inverser les proportions de la protéine animale et la protéine végétale de 80 à 20, de 20 à 80.
That's true that it's a process that has developed over the course of his career, but it was very present from the beginning. The use of vegetables, the importance of using vegetables and of increasing the amount of vegetables you eat. For example, his first vegetable menu is dating back from 1987 at Louis XV restaurant in Monaco at the Hotel de Paris. At that time, no one was speaking about vegetable. That was completely new. And this consciousness about the importance of reducing waste and using more vegetable came slowly, but in the mind of Alain Ducasse, it was already very, very present from the early stage. And all of his career, if you look at this, vegetables are all, you know, his life is paved by vegetables and by cereals until, you know, naturalness.
Yes.
He's been present since the very beginning, and the consciousness of reducing the amount of proteins to the benefit of the vegetables, like usually it's 80% animal proteins, 20% vegetables. So now the goal is to go up to 80% vegetables and 20% of animal proteins.
Yes, amazing. What was the influence? You worked with many great chefs, Michel Gérard, Gaston Linette, Alain Chapelle, Roger Verger. What was their impact on your career or experiences working with them?
J'ai appris l'expertise professionnelle chez eux dans la diversité des goûts de la région lyonnaise et d'une cuisine française, les goûts de la Méditerranée chez Roger Verger et d'une cuisine de création chez Michel Gérard. Donc ça, c'est mon apprentissage.
You know, he benefited from their professional expertise, you know, all of them. You know, he learned the Mediterranean cuisine, the Provençal cuisine at Roger Verger, you know, the creativity at Michel Gérard. He learned Chapelle, it was
la grande cuisine française contemporaine.
The high-end, you know, the haute cuisine française, you know, in the literal terms of the world. And, of course, pastry with Gaston Lenotre.
And when did you know you wanted to open your own restaurant or many restaurants? Was that something always in the back of your mind that you were going to do your own thing?
Ouvrir un restaurant, ça vous est venu quand? Votre propre restaurant.
Quand on a la maîtrise, c'est d'abord créer sa cuisine. Quand on a une idée que l'on maîtrise la cuisine, c'est de créer la sienne et pas celle des autres. Et très sincèrement, c'est quand on prend... Quand j'accepte la première place de chef chez Roger Verger à l'Amandier de Mougins, j'ai 23 ans et je dois créer ma vision culinaire. Et ma vision culinaire, elle est essentiellement méditerranéenne et elle utilise déjà peu de protéines animales parce que j'ai la chance d'être au bord de la Méditerranée, d'avoir des légumes, des céréales et des poissons extraordinaires. Donc ça commence là, créer, ça commence le jour où vous êtes responsable d'une cuisine et que vous êtes chef. Et ça m'arrive très tôt, puisque j'ai 23 ans.
You know, it dates back from the time when he took his first job as a chef for Roger Verger. It was in the south of France, in Mougins. The name of the restaurant was called L'Amandier, and that's when he took the first time the responsibility of a cuisine. He was 23 years old, and you know, that's when it really started. You know, getting to run a restaurant and then another restaurant and then his own restaurant. And he says that you really realize that you will be able to do so when you masterize your technique. When you masterize a cuisine, you know, the French technique, then your will, the next goal is to masterize the techniques, but for your own restaurant. And then this happened very early on at 23.
And was it ever or always or never a goal to earn Michelin stars? Was that something that you set out to, or it's just part of the process of having beautiful, amazing restaurants?
C'était un besoin, c'était une envie, c'était un but, ou c'est quelque chose qui est venu comme ça?
Non, c'est une récompense, mais c'est pas une quête permanente, mais c'est une reconnaissance.
It's an acknowledgement, a very strong one, but it was not a quest for him.
Oui, puis dès que j'ai eu une étoile, deux étoiles, trois étoiles, j'ai eu envie d'avoir quatre étoiles, cinq étoiles, six étoiles. J'ai envie d'avoir deux fois trois étoiles, trois fois trois étoiles. Donc c'est comme une compétition, c'est une motivation. Mais en fait, on fait d'abord pour nourrir sa passion quotidienne et pour satisfaire nos clients. Et les étoiles viennent nous récompenser. Mais ma motivation, c'est de créer et offrir de nouvelles expériences culinaires à mes clients.
He's really motivated by the pleasure of his guests, of creating, you know, new experiences every day for the pleasure of them. And then it's the cherry on the cake if the Michelin stars and other acknowledgement and awards, you know, come, you know, after that. But that's really, you know, First, for the customers that we are creating everything.
Et d'abord, le chef, c'est le chef, il est égoïste. Il fait d'abord la cuisine pour se faire plaisir. Et s'il trouve un public, c'est-à-dire le client, c'est encore mieux. Mais d'abord, très égoïstement, le chef, il fait le plaisir de cuisiner ce qu'il aime.
Very selfish. So at the beginning, you know, they cook for themselves. So when then, if they find a public, and then, you know, whenever they are pleased with whatever is in the plate and the place and the restaurant, then they open it up. They open it up to the public.
And how do you decide when to open new places and where, what destinations? And I will throw in there that I am good friends now with Didier Elena.
Mm-hmm. Elle est amie avec Didier.
I know you know that name without, yeah, translation.
What a long time. With me.
Yeah, well, I met him here in New York at the Chef's Club when he opened that. And we've become good friends. I told him I was going to be talking to you today. And he's. Yeah. I have this ChefWise book out, and he's a part of it. So when I think of Didier, I think of you, because I know you worked together a long time.
Oui, oui, vous avez, quand elle pense à Didier, elle pense forcément à vous, parce que vous avez travaillé pendant de nombreuses années.
Oui, puis il a commencé avec moi, son premier jour de cuisine.
And his first job as a chef was with Alain Ducasse.
Yes.
Ended with Alain Ducasse.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first chef in New York, when I opened Alain Ducasse as a success, that's a good venture with Didier.
Yes.
He's a good chef. He's a great chef.
Yes, I agree. And, and great person.
In Paris, he just opened.
Yes, he's been working with the Hog Salt Group. I know he was in Paris, and in his restaurants in Chicago.
American restaurant, La Renommée. Mm. The name of the restaurant is La Renommée. It's an idea of American taste in Paris. Welcome.
And have you been?
Yes.
Oh, you went. Amazing.
Secretly.
I'm jealous. Secretly. I'm jealous. I will come to Paris and meet you there, and we can go. So with deciding where you're going to open, you're all around the world now. So what led you to open in New York City?
Qu'est-ce qui vous a amené à parce que la question était comment est-ce que vous, la question était comment vous décidez d'ouvrir des restaurants et où? Et puis après, la question s'est précisée.
C'est toujours, saisir une opportunité ou pas la saisir. Quand le directeur de Essex House, Ibrahim Fahmy, me téléphone à Paris pour dire « je cherche un chef ». À la fin de la conversation, et je crois qu'il me dit « et vous, ça vous intéresse ?» Je dis « oui, ça m'intéresse, je réponds ça m'intéresse. Je viens la semaine prochaine, on va visiter. » Voilà, c'est pendant, pendant l'échange téléphonique, je décide d'aller à New York.
It's really about opening a restaurant, the choice of opening a restaurant and the choice of the place. You know, of course, you have your own feelings, will, etc. But also, it's a question of opportunities. And when you are speaking to New York, that's a little bit of what happened. Because when he got a phone call from the director of the Essex House at the time, Ibrahim Fahmy,
an Egyptian guy,
he was looking for a chef. And then he was asking Alain Ducasse if he could help him, if he was thinking of a chef. You know, just exchanging, very friendly. And before hanging up, Ibrahim said, but you're not interested, aren't you? And then Chef Ducasse said, well, yes, I might be interested. And then the following week, Chef Ducasse was in New York. They visited the place together. And then, you know, we know what happened.
Il faut beaucoup de courage. Il faut beaucoup de courage et beaucoup d'inconscience pour venir à New York il y a 25 ans.
In 25 years ago, you know, you have to be audacious, but you also have to be a little bit of crazy to come and open a restaurant in New York, because that was already a very tough city.
Yes, I know. I've been here a while. I wear a few hats, and restaurant PR is one of them. So I know it's a tough place and an amazing place to open a restaurant. And I also know from your book and from following your career that you were in a plane accident that also, I think, influenced you and maybe inspired you to take more risks. I mean, maybe you could talk about that.
Oui, l'accident, en fait, est-ce que ça vous a...
On a peur de rien puisque je suis survivant, donc j'ai peur de rien.
Oui, taking more risks. Maybe in the sense that he was the sole survivor of the plane crash. So then once you have survived such a terrible accident, then you can move on to so many other experiences and you're not afraid.
Le seul problème, c'est quand on a une incapacité physique ou intellectuelle d'être autonome. Sinon, on a toujours des solutions.
And you keep this in the back of your mind as a motto or as a daily philosophy, saying that once you have experienced the fact that you cannot live on for yourself, that you depend on other persons and that you cannot do anything else but being dependent on other persons, then you know that besides this situation, there is no serious problem. Then so-called problem can all have a solution. There is one solution that you cannot solve, is that when you are unable to live on by yourself and be dependent on other person. That's
serious. Yes. Let's talk a little about your book, because I feel your book, which is entitled Good Taste, A Life of Food and Passion, which the release date is next week, and I have a copy and I've read through it and it's fantastic. So much advice, so much wisdom, so many great stories that you concisely put in this book. I want to go back and read it again. I was going to read actually from the back. I guess, you know, you're not supposed to start in the back, but I don't know. I'm going to read this because it registered with me. It says, you have to be a little reckless and passionate. I enjoy nothing more than discovering things I've never discovered before, seeing things I've never seen before, and tasting things I've never tasted before. I enjoy nothing more than meeting enthusiasts all over the world, visiting markets, tasting the food of other chefs and street food, and sometimes going back to my house by the ocean, existing in silence and solitude with my books and the horizon before setting off again for new adventures, traveling once again, tasting things once again and forever. I think that's beautiful, and I feel there's so much wisdom and beautiful stories in this book. So what inspired you to want to, I know you've done several cookbooks, so what inspired you to want to put this together for readers?
Elle a beaucoup aimé le livre. Quel âge a-t-elle?
Non, mais c'est toujours la quête de ce que je ne connais pas, et ça continue. Donc, je veux découvrir toujours plus des hommes et des femmes qui vont me nourrir. Et j'espère que de l'échange naîtra l'évolution de ce, qui ils sont et qui je suis. Donc, c'est une quête permanente vers ce que je ne connais pas.
Alors, la question était vraiment par rapport au livre, ce qui vous avait donné envie de faire le livre. Mais
ça c'est... C'est, non, j'ai pas envie de le faire, mais je suis convaincu que peut-être c'est bien de le faire.
You know, he was. We're going to circle back to your question. But he's always looking forward to new encounters, and then to you know, always thinking about what he's going to do next. You know, he has a true pleasure in exchanging and meeting. You know, people like you today. And exchange on this book, because that's the topic, and that's what really motivated him. So maybe that in the back of his mind, you know, when he was approached to publish the book, which was not an idea of his own, a publisher came on and, you know, convinced him to do so. I think that maybe in the back it was also to be able to exchange and to share and to give his advice to, you know, a larger number of people. And an occasion for him to nourish himself also through these encounters and interviews and meeting new people and the public and the readers.
Well, I'm glad you did the book. I'm certainly glad to be here with you today. And your intros are by Jay McInerney. It's like I've looked at it on paper forever, and then you go to say it. And Claire Smith, MBE, who she's a part of my ChefWise book. And in my book, actually, you're cited a couple times. Helene DeRose and Alexis Gauthier both mention you and their experiences working with you and how they learned so much from you. But Claire, I know, spent time working with you. And the intros are wonderful. The chapters, you talk about your childhood. You talk about Mediterranean ventures, Paris, New York, Tokyo. I think that was maybe one of my favorites. And talk a little about the factories, because you also have a whole other aspect of what you're doing now with chocolate. And I love chocolate. So how did that come about?
Avant de parler des manufactures, vous voulez dire un mot sur les élèves? Elle a fait un livre qu'elle va vous montrer tout à l'heure.
Mais si,
et vous êtes beaucoup cité.
De rien garder pour soi, tout partager, tout donner. C'est ce qui me motive, c'est de partager ce que je sais avec le plus grand nombre. Donc c'est faire école, en fait, qui me motive au travers des écoles, au travers des livres, etc.
You know, when you referenced Claire Smith, you know, as doing the introduction of the book, you know, Chef Ducasse said about Claire, about Alexis Gauthier, about Hélène, and about many others, that's really his ultimate motivation, you know, to train, to pass on his knowledge, and to, as we say in French, faire école, meaning in terms of leaving a legacy, you know, behind him, is that to be very honored and to be really proud. You know, to have trained and encouraged and coached, you know, so many chefs over the course of his career. That's the ultimate pleasure that he has as a chef. So that was the question.
Yes,
about
yes. No, I'm glad. Thank you.
And then chocolate. Donc chocolate. Vous voulez dire un mot sur
le chocolat? Oui, parce que j'avais fait du chocolat il y a très longtemps. J'avais même hésité entre être chocolatier, pâtissier et cuisinier. Finalement, j'ai décidé d'être cuisinier, mais quand même cette histoire de le chocolat m'avait passionné et je suis revenu au chocolat, mais en faisant le chocolat, à l'origine. Je veux toujours faire mon métier depuis l'origine. Je veux l'apprendre, je veux le maîtriser.
The fun part is that he nearly, you know, his career was really at the beginning, you know, as a chocolatier. He really wanted to become a chocolatier. And then when he was, you know, working on chocolates at this time at Gaston Le Nôtre, he was fascinated by chocolate, but maybe too much at the time. So he decided to remain into culinary, cooking. And then years after that, you know, as it was always something that remained very live in his memory, he, created the opportunity to open up the artisan manufacturer of chocolate. But doing chocolate as a chef. Like the chef starts from the produce up until the dish. And then he said, okay, I want to do chocolate now. I'm ready, but I'm going to do it by sourcing my beans, roasting my beans, cooking my beans like a chef would do. And then, you know, creating my bonbon tablet and
my shops,
and then open the shops, and then having the control in a way on all the different parts of the chocolate making process.
Amazing. What motivates you to keep opening new places, new things? You're certainly driven. I feel like I'm a person who's driven and busy and likes to do lots of things and not sure what I'm doing next, but there's always a next. And I feel maybe we have that in common.
Donc elle est pareille, elle pense toujours à ce qu'elle va faire demain, elle est très très occupée. Et quelle est votre motivation à vous pour ça? Qu'est-ce qui vous tient toujours motivé?
C'est ce que j'espère découvrir, ce que je ne connais pas encore, ce que je n'espérais pas rencontrer. Voilà, c'est une quête permanente de ce que je ne connais pas.
It's really the curiosity. It's a permanent quest of finding new chefs, new produce, new tableware.
New.
Passionate about what's tomorrow. What's next?
De même nourri de rencontres que je ne connais pas encore.
Oui.
L'idée c'est de pas avoir une journée pour rien, une journée où je n'ai pas appris et n'est pas une bonne journée. Mais j'essaie de me nourrir tous les jours.
One day without learning is a day lost. So one day has to be interesting and rich in new experiences and new knowledge.
Yes. So I'm wondering, are you thinking maybe of bringing one of your factories or chocolate to New York? All right.
Maybe you have one person that
will be lining up at least.
I have one factory. Factory in Paris and open one in Tokyo. My idea is open the same size than Tokyo in New York.
Very exciting.
In Tokyo, so maybe
we have a great success in Europe and in Japan that we develop first in Europe and France, Europe and Japan. Next step in North America.
I've been to Tokyo once. I want to go back. I mean, that was your chapter on Paris, New York, and Tokyo. I was like, good choices. I'm in. And let me ask you, on my last show, I asked my guest to ask you a question. So I had on episode 384, Richie Lin. He's the chef, founder, and CEO of Mume Hospitality Group, which includes Mume in Taiwan. And along with his partners, he's developed novel ways of using Taiwanese produce and local ingredients in a distinctly Nordic way. And he wants to know, when is your visit to Taiwan? And he was thinking maybe you've been before, and are you interested maybe in opening a restaurant there?
À la fin de chaque show, elle pose une question à ses auditeurs. Il y a eu une question sur Taïwan.
Non. C'est pas dans le plan. Mais on n'a pas dit qu'on n'irait pas un jour. Mais on a déjà assez de restaurants à ouvrir pour cette année et l'année prochaine.
We have
so many places to open.
Places to open. Taiwan is not.
Have you been there before?
Visit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'd like to visit. Yeah. I was in Seoul for Asia's 50 best restaurants.
Asia, 50
best Asia.
Voilà. It was in Bangkok.
It was in Taiwan. It was in Seoul,
but Richie was there. He was on list number 34. And yeah, I was able to do some interviews with some of the chefs. So what's your top advice you would say to anyone listening to this podcast, like aspiring young cooks as of today? I mean, there's so much advice in your book. Your book is wonderful. But is there one thing you would say anybody thinking of being a chef or a restaurateur should know?
J'ai pas écrit là, mais il faut travailler plus vite et mieux.
Oui, you know, there is a simple advice that he, apply to himself.
Avec rigueur, discipline, exigence. Right, plus vite et mieux, rigueur, discipline, exigence.
Apply to himself that, you know, work better, harder, and faster than the others with rigor, consistency, and demanding. So
rigueur, discipline, exigence, rigueur.
Put it the way you want, but you know, being rigorous, being demanding, and being consistent, you know, with the consistency. Rigueur, discipline, exigence. And if you mix this with the fact of working harder, better, and faster, then, you know, maybe you'll
you have a chance. You have a chance, but we are not sure, but we have a chance.
Fantastic. Okay, so it's time for my speed round. So what this is I name a couple of things and you get to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla. So it's a game. You ready? Okay. Eat in at home or eat out at a restaurant?
À la maison ou au restaurant? Pour manger.
Les deux.
Non. Both.
C'est deux routes différentes. Il dépend.
There's no rules to my game, so...
Il n'y a pas de règles.
Ah, non, il dépend.
Donc, c'est bon.
Okay.
Les deux. J'ai besoin des deux.
Les deux.
Indoor dining or al fresco dining?
Manger à l'intérieur ou en terrasse?
Intérieur.
Indoor.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or champagne?
Cocktail.
Cocktail.
Now, we have a new program. You start yesterday night, a new program in Benoit for 2 months.
Yes. And it was wonderful. I was here last night for your event with Margot Combat.
I know.
Your cocktail program at Benoit. It's a pop-up.
Yes.
Until June 11.
We open in each of my restaurants one cocktail program. I decide. The first one, it's in New York today.
And Margot is going to run, you know, pop-up cocktails in our different restaurants
in the
world.
Yes.
And the first one was... So cocktail is the answer.
Cocktail. Well, it was a great event. I was happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Benoit Bar, this restaurant is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So people should come. Okay. How about tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Both.
Menu dégustation.
Both.
Can't pick.
On the same week, I have a fantastic tasting menu in Nice last 2 weeks, and I like a la carte also. It depends.
Okay.
It depends the moment.
Small plates or large plates?
Petite portion ou...
Small size. I prefer more small size than one big size.
Okay. How about communal table or chef's counter?
Alors, table communale ou chef's... Le comptoir.
Ah, j'aime bien le comptoir.
Counter.
Okay.
If you have two, counter. If you have four, table.
Makes sense.
Counter for two, table for more than two.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Le pourboire ou all-inclusive?
Le pourboire.
Tipping.
Si j'ai le choix, je préfère le pourboire.
Tipping.
Open kitchen or closed kitchen?
Cuisine ouverte ou pas?
Both.
Les deux.
Cuisine fermée, visible. Moi, j'aime bien cuisine. Cuisine, mais visible de la salle. Ça, j'aime bien.
Alors, a kitchen closed.
But...
It's a closed kitchen, but with a window.
Okay.
So then you can see the kitchen, but it's closed.
Yes, I get it. I like that. I just went to John George's new restaurant. He has it. That's nice. Yeah. Okay. A few more. Being a mentee or being a mentor?
Vous préférez être coaché ou être le coach?
Je préfère être mentor.
Mentor.
Tasting butter or making butter? I had to reference that. that Dan Barber story that's been told about the butter.
Donc, elle vous pose cette question. Parce qu'elle
famous story.
Elle connaît l'anecdote.
Du butter de Dan Barber.
Oui, c'est ça.
Yeah.
Et donc, du coup, la question rigolote, c'est vous préférez goûter le beurre ou faire le beurre?
Je préfère goûter le beurre.
Tasting butter.
Oh, you're very good at it, apparently.
Et donc, vous êtes quand même pas mauvais.
And anyone can Google what we're talking about. Okay. Cheese plate or dessert?
Alors, fromage ou dessert?
Dessert.
Dessert.
And my last one is...
But with low sugar, low fat, sugar, but with low sugar, low fat.
For dessert.
Okay. Low. I got it. Last one I'll say, New York City, Paris, Tokyo, Monaco. Can you pick one? You're going to say all of them. Can't go wrong with Paris.
It's timeless.
Awesome. That's the game.
And we have a little bit of Paris next to us.
Ah, yes. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, Eiffel Tower. Okay, so I have my solo dining experience. I'm going to do that later. It's at Core by Claire Smith. I was in London. So we'll just close out with my final question. So I go show to show, guest to guest. So my next guest is Gabriel Ornelis. He's the host and producer of On the Pass podcast, serving up inspiring conversations with figures in food, beverage, and hospitality, celebrating its fourth year. So can you ask a question for Gabriel? It can be anything.
Alors, une question pour Gabriel, qui est son prochain hôte, okay. Et qui, lui, a un podcast qui s'appelle On the Pass.
It's called On the Pass, and it's similar to my show, you know, On Hospitality. He's an entrepreneur in the industry, has worked with some brands like Moët Hennessy and Valrhona is one of his clients.
Oui, Moët Hennessy et Valrhona, oui.
C'est un consultant pour des marques dans l'hospitalité,
comment il s'appelle?
Dans le luxe. Et his last name is
Ornelis.
Ornelis.
Okay. Gabriel Ornelis.
Okay. Donc, est-ce que vous auriez une question? Donc, c'est le jeu. Est-ce que vous auriez une question à poser à Gabriel? Donc, consultant en hospitalité.
Il fait du cognac et du chocolat?
Alors, il fait rien, mais il est consultant pour une marque.
Alors, comment il fait pour approcher le cognac et le chocolat? Moi, j'ai une idée. Et lui?
Alors, how do you do if you had to combine cognac and chocolate? How would you approach?
S'il a des idées, moi j'ai des idées.
Voilà. How would you approach the combination of cognac and chocolate? If you don't have any ideas, then I have some.
pour l'aider lui pour faire
c'est
des.
C'est ce conseils. Qu'il a dit.
Voilà. That's fantastic. I love it. Thank you.
Merci.
I will wrap up other things in the show. I just want to say thank you so much. You don't need an introduction. Everyone knows Alain Ducasse, and you've influenced me. You've influenced so many chefs. And
good influence or bad influence? It depends.
Pretty good, I'd say. Pretty good. It's an honor to meet you. I feel when I was reading your book, it resonated a lot with me. Things that you've learned along the way, your passion, your drive. You've taken all of your knowledge and you shared it with other people.
My pleasure.
And congratulations on all the stars. I mean, a lot of stars and everything you've accomplished.
Merci.
So I appreciate being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate your book and all the best to you. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. My guest today is legendary chef Alain Ducasse. He has a new book out called Good Taste, A Life of Food and Passion. And I just wrapped up our interview and we skipped over industry news, but I did pull an article, which I'll share briefly now with you. And it's on Eater New York and entitled Michelin Announces 10 New York Restaurants Up for 2024 Awards. And this came out on April 10th and was by Melissa McCart. And it notes how the Michelin Guide announced on Tuesday the latest update to its New York Dining Guide, which includes 10 new restaurants that could be up for a Michelin Award in the fall. Doesn't necessarily say they will receive a Michelin star or a Bib Gourmand. It's just basically saying these restaurants are on the radar of Michelin. And some of the restaurants include Bangkok Supper Club, which I've been to, is wonderful. Chef's Table by Brooklyn Fair, which if you go back to my episode 379, I did an interview with the new chefs, Max Messing and Marco Prinz. And congratulations to them for being recognized. We'll see what happens in the fall when the list comes out. And last year they bundled New York's restaurant awards with Washington, D.C. and Chicago. So we'll see if we do that again. But congratulations for the 10 restaurants that are being recognized, and we shall see what's to come. Okay, so I am going to do my solo dining experience. And as I mentioned to Chef Ducasse, this week it's at Core by Claire Smith. So here's the rundown. The location, 92 Kensington Park Road, Notting Hill, London, England. The concept, an elegant fine dining restaurant emphasizing natural, sustainable food, crafting exquisite dishes using the best British produce from dedicated farmers and food producers, offering seasonal and classical tasting menus plus a la carte. The chef and owner, Claire Smith, MBE, the first and only British female chef to hold 3 Michelin stars. Why'd I go? Well, her restaurant has an amazing reputation, and I was curious to check it out, and she's in my book. So my experience, I made a reservation for one when I was in London. I took the tube there and a little short walk and arrived. It's a converted townhouse, and it's pretty lovely walking up into the space in the whole dining room, which I'll share more about. And I was hoping Claire was going to be there, but I missed her. I heard she was doing something with Bocuse d'Or, but next time. And her team took wonderful care of me. So when I arrived, I was warmly greeted and led to a table in the main dining room, which to get there, you pass through the cocktail bar area and a communal table right in front of the kitchen. Actually, it had a glass window in front of the open kitchen, like Alain Ducasse said that he liked. So Claire is doing that there. At my table, they had one of the Michelin guides and they had the Art of Eating, which I thought was a nice touch as a solo diner to put that on the table. It was a big, spacious table, so there was plenty of room. And there were a couple of menu options. I went with the Core Classics tasting menu because I figured first time there, I should go with the classics. And dishes had exquisite presentations. I had lovely service between the different servers and chefs coming out of the kitchen and presenting dishes. It was formal, but not fussy. It felt comfortable. And I met the chef, Johnny Bonet, at the end. And I had a really great time. So what did I get? Well, my meal began with many gorgeous amuse and bread service. Courses included Isle of Harris scallop tartare, potato and roe, which I believe is a signature dish, roasted cod, lamb carrot, chicken cockles, clams, and caviar, and one of the desserts was Core apple. My take? Perfectly executed, beautiful, delicious. Little stories were told with the dishes, aside from the ingredients, and all of the servers were really wonderful. And I'd say my favorites were the potato, the cod, the Core apple, but it was really all delicious. The ambiance. So it's an elegant dining room. It has white tablecloths, soft white tones, plush chairs, and there's polished marble detailing around the dining room. It felt like being in someone's really nice home. And at the pass, they have, I mentioned, a communal table by this open kitchen behind the glass. And the bar front is a completely different look. It's a dark toned, gorgeous bar area lounge with turquoise velvet chairs. So a different experience that you can have in the front. I'd say perfect for dining solo or with a friend or a date. There was a nice couple by me celebrating their anniversary. There was also another solo diner I noted. So the place is for anyone. Interesting tidbit. So Claire grew up in Northern Ireland and her debut book Core was published in 2022 by Fiden, my publisher. And from 2005 to 2007, she joined the team at Alain Ducasse's Le Louis 15 in Monte Carlo. She wrote one of Chef Ducasse's book intros, as I mentioned earlier, and what she said about the book and the back was, I'm still learning from Chef Ducasse. He is just as inspirational to me now as he was at the beginning of my career, and I'm certain that this book, with all the knowledge it contains, will guide and inspire generations of chefs to come. So that was Claire Smith on Chef Ducasse's new book, Good Taste, A Life of Food and Passion. And another interesting tidbit, Claire received many accolades, and one of them is the World's Best Female Chef Award by the World's 50 Best Restaurants. Personal fun fact. So for my book, Chefwise, I interviewed Chef Claire Smith via Zoom, and that was really nice. I was grateful that she took the time to do that and was lovely chatting with her. And also, one of the books on my table, The Art of Eating, when I was browsing through it, I saw they had a chapter entitled A is for Dining Alone. So that was cool for me. So the cost of my meal was 262 euro. That's including my sparkling water, coffee, and a service charge. The tasting menu itself is 215 euro. Would I go back? Yes, I would love to. Website is corebyclairesmith.com. And her name is spelled C-L-A-R-E. And Smith is with a Y. That's S-M-Y-T-H. And Instagram is at Court by Claire Smith. So that's my experience. It was very special, and I feel lucky that I got to dine there. So thank you, Claire and team. Okay, so that's the show. We did the final question already. So stay tuned for my next show with Gabriel Ornelas. I'm excited to chat with him, and our show will be coming out next week. And I hope you enjoyed my interview with the legendary chef, Alain Ducasse. It was certainly a huge honor for me to chat with him. He is one of the most respected chefs, and he's been called the greatest of all time by many, including Richie Lynn, who asked him a question on this show. So thank you, Chef Alain Ducasse, so much for joining me today, and huge congratulations on all you've achieved throughout your career, including your new book, Good Taste, A Life of Food and Passion, which is available now wherever books are sold, and it's a great read. So everyone, go get your copy. And I hope to see you again soon, whether it's in New York City or in Paris or anywhere around the world. And I can't wait to visit more of your restaurants and get some chocolate. And also, thank you so much for your kind words about Chefwise. Listeners, I gave Chef Ducasse a copy of my book, and he took a little time and was scrolling through it, and he then said,
"Thank you, merci.
Good work,
thank
huh?
Thank you.
Beautiful color. Well, good job, huh?
All fabulous things to hear. So, merci beaucoup. You made my day and beyond. And many thanks again to Emmanuel for translating for us. You are fantastic. To find out more about Chef Alain Ducasse, you can go to his website, which is ducasse-paris.com. And that's ducasse-paris.com. And you can follow him on Instagram at Alain Ducasse. And that's A-L-A-I-N-D-U-C-A-S-S-E. And as always, you can follow me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, and at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry, and my websites are BayerPublicRelations.com, SherryBayer.com, and AllInTheIndustry.com. All of our shows are archived at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. As you all know, my book, Chefwise, Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden, is also available wherever books are sold. Actually, this week is my book's 1 year anniversary. So thank you all for your support over the year. It has really meant a lot to me. I am very grateful. Here's to books. Thanks to my engineer today, Armin. Thanks again to Chef Ducasse and to Emmanuel. And thanks to Chef Ducasse's amazing publicist, Carrie Bachman, who has been a colleague of mine for a long time. I appreciate you setting everything up for us. I am your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. I will be back next week with a new show. I hope you'll tune in then. And thank you, as always, for being part of All in the Industry. Bye. All in the Industry is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.